The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Linda is at home today because we have contractors coming in that are working on the house, get ready for painting. We also have the air conditioning guys coming in today because yesterday, as a birthday present, my our air conditioner and the we have two because the house has just been built on several times. Decided that it had worked enough. It's been there for 12 years, and so it quit. So here comes Alliance Heating and Air, and today they came in yesterday, discovered that it was just, total, brought us a portable air conditioning in. Thank you, Alliance Heating and Air, brought us a portable air conditioner in so we could sleep last night. So that's where Linda is today. Good morning, everybody. 7:06 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And I'm here with Ashley. So, Ashley, what's the weather look like?
We are looking at a high of 99 today, and we had a beautiful sunrise this morning, if you managed to catch it, with a lot of low clouds in the beginning of the day. We're looking at a low of 69 tonight with mostly clear skies, about the same tomorrow. Our most interesting thing for the week is actually Friday night. We have a slight chance of thunderstorms, but we should be in the high 80s by Friday and Saturday this weekend.
Okay. Weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane is a better-known business out of Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Won awards from the state for hiring veterans. It's a great place. Give them a call at 365-3793. That's Shasta Gas Propane. Okay. Today we're going to have Elizabeth Betancourt on today at 8 o'clock. She's the Democrat that's running for the Assembly, the lone Democrat running for Assembly against four Republicans. I'm going to try and get – I've got phone calls out there, everybody. I've got Patrick and Lane coming in, also running for office, not today, but later on this month. And got calls out to Megan Daly to have Megan come back in too. So everybody can get – and Joe Walker to let everybody have one more listen to them, with get a whole hour with them so you can ask questions and I can ask questions to see what they want to do for our state – or I'm sorry, not our state, but for our district. A lot of times it's going up against the state. But who I have in here right now is Ken Murray. Ken, good morning. I saw you last night at the meeting at the city council chambers when talking about the should the city be opposed or not opposed to the building of the new casino by the Redding Rancheria. What'd you think?
I thought the whole thing was interesting.
You think it was did you think it was a moot point because they'd already made up their minds?
I suspect so, but that's just a guess on my part. But it was interesting on a number of levels.
What I know what I thought, but I'd like to hear from you because
I thought it was. Let me just share some of what I thought was interesting about it. One of the things that was interesting was that the people who live on the river. Across the river from the strawberry fields,
yeah,
are virtually unanimously opposed to it because it's the wrong location. It's wonderful riparian habitat. There's wildlife there and everything else.
Uh-huh.
The part that's interesting to me is that they all live in wonderful riparian habitat that had wildlife before they built their houses there. And so it seems to me, at least, the conclusion I draw from that is they want the nice riparian habitat now that they have their piece of it, and they want somebody else to pay for it. And that somebody else, in this particular case, is the tribe, but any private property, there are private property rights in this country. I mean, are they going to be happy if somebody builds bigger McMansions along the strawberry field side, which certainly could be done, looking in their bedroom windows across the river? I mean,
well, but I think you have to admit that there's a difference between having a home on riparian waterways and having the casino there. I mean,
it doesn't matter what the structure is. Okay, you're interfering with the riparian waterways, and whatever the riparian wildlife is, their homes are in the riparian wildways. So it's illogical to me.
The part about the private property is the one that rings very true with me.
Well, generally we think if you own some property, you can do something with it. Now, there are general plans and things like that, but they're guidelines, and it needs to be recognized. I think that the city of Reading is dealing with a sovereign government, and there is synergy and tax benefits to both parties that I think are not being recognized, and other bonus things. I mean, I'm listening to some of the people that talked last night in opposition to it, and I heard things that just don't make sense, such as, well, yeah, they have a casino business, they're not as good as people who create other businesses in town. I would submit that the tribe members and employees do in fact create other businesses in town, and a lot of them. One of the businesses in town that they have created that is underappreciated is they're big into the medical business in this community. They're probably bigger than the VA.
Well, you know what? No. Well, you know what? Here's the thing is, I was there last night. I didn't mention is that their medical facility treats like 6,000 people. 6,000 people are treated at the medical facilities that Reading Rancheria put up. All of them Medi-Cal. All these people would be at the emergency rooms, or they don't have doctors, but now they do. And that's a big thing. And I did, but I heard people say, well, Reading Rancheria does good things. But what I heard was from several people, I didn't stay long, from several people was they have enough. They already make enough money. Did you know that they make three times the amount as any the average citizen does in Reading, which isn't true, by the way.
No, it wasn't true when he said
it. That wasn't true. But if you want to look at people that are making three to four times as much as any citizen in Reading, look up on the dais at the city employees. At the city employees, and I don't complain about how much they make because that's up to the city council if that's what they think. But I don't complain about people making money and being a success and then wanting to grow. Nobody told Red Emerson, and I'm just using Red as an example. I could use other businesses because Red is a very successful businessman. I admire that. Nobody told Red, you've got enough. Stop. You've got enough.
Yeah.
And that's what I heard last night. They've got enough. And I when people say that, they've got enough. So they made a success of the acreage that was given to them. So they have the other acreage sold to them by the city and other people. Well, and they want to increase what they have. I don't understand that's the American way.
Well, and for example, one person got up and said the city had that property south of the strawberry fields, and the city bought it as a buffer zone. Well, that's just absolutely not true. The city bought that property probably 45 or 50 years ago as part of a planning department forecast that showcased a ring road around the city of Reading, and it was bought for bridge right away to cross the Sacramento River, and the city owned both sides of the Sacramento River as part of an acquisition to facilitate a long-term growth plan that included another bridge down there. So when somebody stands up and says things like that, the city bought a buffer zone, they don't know what they're talking about. And And I guess it's okay to be ignorant, but it's not okay to be stupid.
Well, a lot of times people get the wrong word, and instead of checking it, they just repeat it like they do on Facebook. But the one good thing was when I left there to go back home to have dinner with my wife, was that night I dropped into my Sleep Number bed. It's not just my imagination. This is truly a proven quality sleep. And then, there's the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. And the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, not only can you adjust the amount of firmness you want on your side of the mattress, and Linda can have, like, my Sleep Number setting is 60 and Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. With the 360 Smart Bed, as you move through the night, it senses that and it adjusts to you as you move. Sleep Number. Right now, you can save up to $600 on a select Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, but you ain't going to find the Sleep Number beds at your Sleep Number store, which is in the Target shopping center. It's in the Target shopping center. Go on in and then go into the store. Lay on the bed. Feel what that's like. You've got a computer program. You'll go up and you'll see where the spots are that your body is resting on the bed, and then how it can change when you adjust the firmness on the bed. But you're only going to find out by going down to Sleep Number. When you do, tell them Carl and Linda sent you, and that they've been sleeping on their Sleep Number bed for over 5 years, and it has been great. Okay, hey, we're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to discuss a couple other things. Businesses that are downsized are going out of business here, and I don't understand why we're opposing something that's going to literally bring in millions of dollars into our city. And then look at the opposition to Costco. It's the same thing. We'll be right back after these messages.
She's been the hard way. I feel it in my bones. She'll be making my day. Not another night alone. It's time for a windfall. Not a single minute too soon. I've been too long overdue. Now I'm going to shoot the moon. I tell it all good. Bad luck, 7 come 11, and she could be mine. Lucky a lady, and I'm gonna find love coming on the bottom line.
BNT Satellite is offering to our 55 plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at BNT Satellite. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for State Assembly District 1. Northern California is one of the most beautiful places in the entire state. Many lakes, rivers, mountains, and vast green forests. But as we've seen in the very recent past, our forests can be deadly. Each summer, many people in District 1 live in fear because of fire. This should not be. And once again, Sacramento has failed us. By mismanaging our forests for over 50 years, we now have created a massive problem. The good news is, we can fix our forests. With proper thinning, we not only reduce fire risk, but improve the watershed and help many animals that are in decline today. The excess number of trees use a tremendous amount of water that is not reaching our streams and rivers. Over the last 20 years, our California deer populations have dropped by 50%. They are literally starving to death. We owe this to the next generation of Californians. And the sooner we start, the sooner we can restore health to our forests. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I would be honored to earn your vote this August 27th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Assembly District 1, 2019.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
BNT Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474-241-DISH and find out more from BNT Satellite.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
And left behind my woman and my kids. Into the gay casino in Nevada's town of Reno.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning. It is 7:21 in the morning. 73 degrees out there, going up to 99 today. Mostly sunny and hot with a high near 99. Looks like the is starting to cloud. It's cloudy here, but it'll clear up by that noon. Alliance Heating and Air is bringing us this segment of the show. Like I said yesterday, our air conditioner gave up the ghost. Cody from Alliance Heating and Air was there and pronounced it dead on arrival. And so he put in a portable air conditioner for us that allowed us to sleep last night. We were looking to get the same great, great, great service from Alliance as we always have gotten. 221-2642 is their number. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. I'm here with Ken Murray. And, Ken, you've got a long history with the Reading Rancheria.
Well, and not so much of the rancheria, but just in the community in general. I've been here about 50 years, and let me take you back. 50 years ago, main entertainment in town was two drive-in theaters. They were great. Or you could go out to the lake on the weekend and watch people from San Francisco dump their pickup trucks on the mud ramps leading down into the water. That was always fun. For some who liked nightlife, there was the Old Crow Club here on California Street. And that's where the Native Americans hung out, among others.
Mm-hmm.
And public drunkenness was a big problem. You could count on Friday or Saturday night the cops being called at least once to the Old Crow Club because of a fight. And I remember in 1970 there was a giant uprising of tribes out the other side of Bernie at Four Corners. They had put up an encampment to protest something or another the government or the county or somebody was doing. Headlines in the paper were confrontation between Indians and the sheriffs or something like that. Terrified my wife, coming from Southern California. We were going to get shot with arrows or something. So where are we today by comparison? Well, there isn't any Old Crow Club. There's no drive-in theaters. You can still go out at the lake, especially on Memorial or Labor Day weekend, and watch guys dump their pickups in the lake because they're too stupid. The lake's too low, and they're too stupid not to do it. And it's kind of fun to watch. However, all of the predictions about what would happen if we allowed the Rancheria to have a
casino
here in town. You know, we're going to have increased crime. We're going to have increased addiction. We're going to have increased that, and the other thing. It's horrible for the community.
It'll be a blight.
You know, none of that came true. And I'm listening to people last night say, well, everybody knows, and it's proven fact, that casinos increase crime rates, they increase addictions, blah, 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 blah. That isn't a proven fact in Redding, California. You know, you may take a statistic out of someplace else. And what has the tribe done? Well, for one thing, you don't see tribes in confrontation any longer that you once saw, because now the new generation have education. They're paying their own way. They're sending their kids to college. They're coming into our community, and let's say they decide they don't want to participate on a government-to-government basis with the city of Redding or the county of Shasta, and they certainly don't have to. What happens then? Let's say they decide to go out of the Medi-Cal business. You know, all we do is jam up our hospital emergency rooms again. They're relieving tremendous pressure. The guy said last night they're making $35 million a year and they only have 350 tribal members, but he didn't allow, so everybody's making a bundle of money, but he's not allowing for the fact they spend a lot of money in town. They pay a tremendous amount of property taxes. Their employees and themselves, the tribal members, all live in the community. They go shopping in the community.
They pay their income tax. They
do everything everybody else does.
But
let's say they chose to withdraw. We're screwed. Okay? In the medical community specifically. Who else is offering for Medi-Cal recipients dental services? Western Dental? I think so. I think they're the only one, other ones that do. The tribe employs more doctors than, like I say, the VA. And they serve not just tribal members, but
anybody
all of
works,
the less fortunate in our community.
Plus anybody that works for the Rancheria. But let's look at something else, too. I look at the amount of money that the tribe gives back to our community in grants and just helping buying fire engines, books, backpacks, computers, the millions of dollars they put back in this community. And I don't see that happening with other large organizations that have this kind of money. I see Redding Rancheria putting back in this community because they want to be. But here's the one thing that people can't forget. There's a lot of room in here for negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was, and that's the one thing I said. You know what? Why doesn't the city and the county sit down with the leadership of Redding Rancheria and say, look, this is going to have an impact this way. We do, you know, okay, there are calls out there. We would like you to, you know, set up a fund. I'm just using this. Set up a fund to help us pay for this and or other things. And they didn't even try something like that.
I agree.
And so now they've kind of like burnt that bridge because they've already said, we don't want you here.
Well, I think there's a misperception. The council probably was thinking, and I'm guessing, I don't know, was probably thinking, well, we hold all the trump cards. We have sewer, water, and power. The fact is, the casino doesn't need any of that stuff. It's better if they get it from the city. It's better for the residents of the city of Redding if they get it from the city, because we can sell it to them and make some money on it.
I just think maybe last night was kind of like a waste of time because the city council had already made up their minds. I mean, maybe not, and I don't know, and I'm more than happy to have them on. But, you know, what they're saying is they're voting against the Redding Rancheria to expand there. And then tonight, they're listening to Costco. Do you think that they're going to get the same – do you think that Costco is going to get the same answer that Redding Rancheria had? Is that the city's going to unanimously oppose it?
I believe if you took traffic out of the equation, half the people – minimum would withdraw their their opposition to either Costco or the Rancheria.
Well, let's talk about, you know, opposition, and I'm more than happy to have the opposition on because we have, and very, you know, very articulate. More than happy to have them come back on again, but now it's kind of a moot point because everything, you know, that they want, they've achieved, is the fact that we have 5,000 signatures. That means you have 93,000 that didn't sign it. We have hundreds of letters. That means you have thousands, tens of thousands of people who didn't sign it.
But the interesting part of that is the council voted 5-0 in opposition. Now, yeah. Does that mean the council is representative of the city as a whole? Or are they letting their personal feelings get involved with what are in the best interest of the majority of citizens? I will tell you from personal experience, the antis always show up in mass at city council chambers, and the city council needs to be careful to take the heat, take the barbs, take the instructive criticism, but vote for what's in the best interest of the city, not the crowd in front of them.
And we'll end on that one. I've been here with Ken Murray. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, if you're looking for a place to buy guns that has great prices, has all the accessories you could possibly imagine, all the different types of guns that you probably want, plus gunsmithing, and the customer service is outstanding, and veterans, you get a discount at Bastiani Arms. Head on down there. 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, open Tuesday through Saturday. Bastiani Arms. We'll be right back with We Back the Blue. This morning drive time is brought to you by Eagle Eye Painting, our painter of choice. For more information, go to danscottpainting.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hey, North State sports fans, this is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
Wind River Resort and Casino.
Well, it's hotter than hell outside right now. It's 100 in the shade with the sun beating down.
He's not your typical country artist, singer, songwriter, award winning, crowd pleasing. He's the total package. His hits include Buy Me a Boat, Drunk Girl, and Fix a Drink.
No, but I can fix a drink. Pour it on ice.
Country artist Chris Jensen, Friday, August 30th. Tickets on sale at windriver.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio. Good morning. 7:35 in the morning. It's about 73 degrees out there, going up to 99. When we say 99, it could be 100 in other spots in the area. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. They have specials going on right now for military and first responders. It's called their Stars and Stripes Package. Extra things that you can get if you're a veteran, active duty, or an active first responder right now. Discounts, free installations, all different types of things they offer for those who wait, for those who serve our community and our nation. B&T Satellite, call 241-3474, 241-DISH. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite. You said you had something there?
I called them yesterday.
Yeah?
Actually, I went down and saw them, and I met
Doug.
Yeah, I met Doug.
Julie.
Yeah, nice guy. And I signed up for service and got $100 off because I'm a veteran.
There you go. And it didn't have anything to do with being older than dirt just because you were a veteran.
You had a birthday, Carl.
I did. I turned 51 yesterday. I'm here with Brian Martin, who is the general manager of River Commons.
And, good morning.
You know, one of our advertisers, but there's more to it than that because, you know, when you look at River Commons and you hear from all the people at River Commons, you know what? I think you've got a party boat going down there.
Part of it is a party boat, no doubt. Yeah, we believe in having fun and. You know, making those golden years something that they enjoy. That's really important.
I know that you've gotten some people, or some people have moved in that were struck by the car fire.
Absolutely.
And the campfire.
Both of them, yes.
And and there's a certain time in your life when enough's enough.
Yep.
I want to have somebody else take care of this.
Yep.
I want to have a gourmet chef. I don't want to cut the grass. I have my dog with me.
Right.
I mean, and I can use this. Here's my place. I've got my stuff here. And I want to take a trip. I just grab my car and take off.
Exactly. And we take care of the rest.
Take care of the
Absolutely.
Rest.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, tell us a little bit more.
Well, it's I've been there 11 years, going almost 12 now. And, you know, we just have a philosophy of doing the right thing for folks. And, you know, it makes me sleep well at night. And we have a very family feel to our community down there. You know, I'm always glad to have somebody come in for a tour, have a lunch with us, because what we do is, you know, we're proud of it. And it's just having that philosophy of always trying to take care of the residents that live with us. Yeah, there you go.
I know. It's not fair because, you know, I tell everybody when they're talking, you know, talk into the microphone. But when you talk to somebody, you want to look at somebody. And so when you do, there's a tendency to kind of turn off.
So I switched it around.
Yeah, see, I've learned how to kind of, like, get behind it and
there
talk
we go.
To people. Yeah, there you go. You know, when the people have come in here before that live down there, they're all happy. And one of them said that when they looked at it the first time, that their people were never happy. They were talking with each other. It wasn't people kind of, like, hanging off to the side or all this. It was a
not staring into their food, right?
Very happy group there.
They are, you know, especially if you come in and have lunch, you'll just hear a happy sound in our dining room. You'll you know, they'll grab you and tell you about their home there. And, you know, I think that's the best thing. I would say that more than half of the residents that we get are because of residents that we have that have told their friends, family, or, you know, doctors and all of that.
Well, you know, it's senior living. It's not assisted care.
Correct. Independent.
It's independent living. So you have that opportunity to do the things that you want. You're downtown. You're close to by the way, you're right next door to the VA clinic for
that's
your veterans.
True. Yep.
That's pretty easy to make.
Yep.
And across from banks and all these kind of things.
Yeah, we got a rehab place on the other side, Copper Ridge, and they do an excellent job.
You're kind of like situated in a good spot.
Yep.
There will not be fires.
We did manage to avoid those with all the big fires. It was scary, no doubt, for a whole Reading, but yeah.
It was, but where you're located at, it would really have to burn through concrete. And
Pretty safe over there, yeah.
You are.
And we've been told by the fire department we have one of the safest buildings in Reading because we're all sprinklered all the way up to the attic and, you know, all those kind of things.
Well, that's good to know. And,
absolutely.
And like I said, you have activity directors, you've got transportation,
you've got
the whole enchilada.
We got the whole enchilada. You know, they just come in and bring their furniture and their phone and pretty much everything else we take care of.
And you do take pets.
We do. Small dogs and cats. Absolutely. Yeah.
What's it cost to live there?
You know, if you're looking at a studio, you're looking at about $2,300 a month, but that includes all your utilities, cable, housekeeping. I mean, really, we provide everything, and then it goes all the way up to a, you know, two-bedroom, two-bath, which is going to run you about $3,800.
What's the size of the community there?
We have 103 apartments, so pretty good size. Three stories, two elevators. We're really designed very, very well. Yep.
I didn't realize it was that big.
Nobody does. You see it from the front driving by, and you know, you don't even realize what it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful property.
Take a good look at it, because then you'll see the three stories there.
It's a beautiful property. Yeah.
So, and that includes everything.
Exactly. And that's, so you don't have to worry about paying your utilities or any of that.
Yeah.
You know, you got three meals a day, and our chef does just an amazing job. We make everything there in the kitchen, and so. You know, I feel very good about the food we serve. I'm always proud to have somebody come and have lunch with us and try it out. They listen to the dining room. They talk to the folks that live there. And, you know, it sells itself, really.
Well, I'm looking at it, thinking about it right now. I don't know. So,
you should be.
Two-bedroom. You know, I could, you know, Elk Killer fits right in there. So it's all that. So, hey, we're here with Brian Martin from River Commons Senior Living. But we're not just here for that. So we're here for We Back to Blue also. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take an early break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk about what's going on with We Back to Blue.
Sounds good.
This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. And Judy has got extensive experience in fire insurance. She, after these fires, she has fought the good fight for her clients. And other people can't find fire insurance for their homes now because of arbitrary rulings by insurance companies.
Yep.
Judy will find you the insurance. Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give Judy or her people a call at 221-0441. And don't forget about the financial side. She's been helping people reach their financial goals also since 1993. We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's see, coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for State Assembly District 1. One of the largest problems facing us in California today is unfunded pensions. Most people don't know how bad this problem is and how it's affecting your city or county. for the city of Reading, this means not having enough money for the police department, fire department, roads, and for most general fund spending. The California Public Employees Retirement System is failing. To backfill the loss of revenue, city and county's general fund budgets are being eaten alive. If action isn't taken over the next 6 years, many cities will default on their payments. This could lead to a reduction of retirement dollars for many. No one wants to see that happen. I'm the only candidate in the assembly race talking about finding a solution to this problem. And the more we talk about this problem, the sooner we can fully fund these pensions. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this August 27th.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, Assembly District 1, 2019.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Out here across the thin blue line, things rarely make much sense.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. 74 degrees going up to about 100 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-379-3747 in the morning here. This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. Specializing in home electronics, over 47 years in the business, locally owned and operated by Clyde Pierce. Authorized dealer for Sony, Samsung, LG, and Klipsch, and also your source for Dish Network. Clyde's Enterprises, give them a call at 221-4144. If you haven't talked to Clyde ever, you need to, once in your life. I'm here with Brian Martin and Matt Stoker and Phaedra Mitchell. And now we're going to be talking, of course, Brian is the general manager out at River Commons, and we've just addressed that. But now we're talking about We Back the Blue, and a big, this is something really big coming happen, or happening. So who should I talk to here first? Phaedra? Phaedra, grab the thing, pull it over there. Yeah, there you go.
Good morning.
Talk about what you, about Code 9.
So the Code 9 project is...
Closer, yeah.
Sorry. The Code 9 project is a project that was started by a group of individuals back east that realized there was a problem with our first responders, that they weren't getting the help they needed to deal with their everyday calls, and then that one call that breaks them, and the stigma of PTSD, which is actually really a brain injury. Most people don't understand that. So they put together this training, and they go around the country, and they teach people about the physiology of the brain and the body and how to recognize early signs and detections and warnings. And they try to create a happier, healthier first responder. So I was offered an opportunity to go to a free training, and our goal here now with We Back the Blue, which Brian has been awesome with, is we're trying to raise funding to bring Code 9 to Shasta County. And if we bring it to Shasta County, we can offer it to other counties, Butte County, Tehama County, Trinity County, you know, our own first responders. And when I say first responders, I don't mean police and fire. I mean dispatchers, nurses, flight paramedics, EMTs, paramedics, firefighters, cops, if we need to, records personnel. You know, people that you don't think really are impacted, but sit there and listen to that radio 24/7.
I can understand. I can understand dispatchers, and you're a retired dispatcher.
Yes, I am.
If that's correct. And so what you're talking about is the ability for somebody to come in here and say, "Okay, look, this is something they all face, and this is how you can handle it." So to do this, though, it's going to take. We have
money.
To bring them here. It's going to take money. Let's just say that.
Yep.
So can we address that for a second about, you know, so we're going to have a fundraiser.
We're excited. Thank you, Carl, for partnering with We Back the Blue and Phaedra. And We Back the Blue have been partnering on this, bringing Code 9 here. It's going to cost about $12,000 to bring it out. But as Phaedra said, it's a broad spectrum help that we're going to offer. And this is not just for the first responders, but it's also going to be for their families because they have to deal with the other side of this. They have to deal with the dysfunctional person at home. So
it's no different than your veteran coming back from combat.
Correct.
Ken?
Yeah. What do they do? They're going to come here for what? A day, a week, 12 months? And what do they do while they're here?
So what happens is they come here and they do three different segments. They do an administrative segment where they spend 2 days and they go over admin-related duties and the differences on mental, physical, emotional exhaustion that people in admin have that is different. Because most admin people, you have to admit, they started as frontline first responders and they work their way up. So they deal with different things that admin faces.
So you're talking about like the leadership.
The leadership.
The leadership, as opposed to strictly pushing papers. These are ones that have come up through the ranks that you're talking about your leadership of first responders.
Okay. People like Roger Moore, who, although he's the police chief, was still out evacuating his neighborhood and saving his neighbors while his own house burned down.
Yeah.
So what gets these admin people to come to you? Do you hold a meeting and invite them and they show up or what?
So what happens is I have contacted the Reading Police Department and they've told me that they would love to be involved. Unfortunately, they don't have the funding to do it. If we could fund it, they would promote it and they would send teletypes out to other agencies to invite first responders throughout the state.
They would ensure that their own people got there too, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, what Ken says, we can't force people to it, but I think there's a lot of people that realize what's going on around them, especially when you just hear that we just had, was it how many of is it locally that killed themselves? They've committed suicide?
Let me finish out answering Ken's question, and then I'll get to some statistics that are probably going to be pretty staggering for the common person that doesn't follow some of the websites. Days 3 and 4 is the frontline first responders. So that would be you know, police, fire, EMS, dispatchers, flight nurses, nurses. And then day 5 is family day because, let's face it, we take our crap home with us.
Okay. So it's a 5-day course.
It's a 5-day
course.
First
for your leadership. Second is for the people right on the streets and or accepting the phone calls. And the last day is for families.
Yes.
How families can fit into this, too.
Yes.
Because they get the impact.
And it's free to everybody that's going to come because we're going to hopefully fund this completely.
Fund it.
And so what are we looking at for the funding for this?
Already raised $3,500 towards this, but the goal is to raise $12,000 so we can bring this in. And this is to help equip officers, the admin, everybody, not only just to deal with it, but to recognize it in their peers. And, you know, that's so important. And now Phaedra has got some statistics. This is what we had 2 local officers within the last 3 years that committed suicide. And so that touched me personally, and that really fired me to want to help with this because these are people I know. And people that, you know, really this should have never happened. But, Phaedra, what have you got for statistics as a widespread, you know, really crisis?
So So there's a group called Shadow Behind the Badge. The Officer Down Memorial page says in 2019, as of last night at midnight, 70 law enforcement officers have lost their life in the line of duty. One is too many, 70 is a lot. As of June 30th, Shadows Behind the Badge, which has recently in the last few years started tracking first responder suicides, 102 officers, that includes correctional officers, have taken their own life, 56 fire and medics. They don't have the numbers for dispatchers and nurses yet because they just started tracking. I personally know of two this year, not locally. And 3,896 active and retired military.
Staggering, really, when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the military, we've been talking about this for years, 22 a day. I think it's down to 21 a day. Air Force just did a stand down, a complete stand down in the Air Force because they've had 79 suicides, active duty, already this year. So you have to take a look at this. And, you know, I'm not going to make anything political out of this, but we need to be able to help. And one of the things is, big things is identifying somebody that may be in trouble.
Absolutely.
One of the things we train our Marines to say is, are you thinking about killing yourself? And when you confront somebody with that, you'd be surprised how they answer, because in some cases, yes, I am. And then we can start getting help on it. So, but these are the things that this group should be bringing in with them. So.
Well, we want to do a fundraiser to, and Carl, thank you for stepping up with this. You know, we're going to put together a little PSA with you, which public service announcement kind of goes over this on where to donate. But if you do want to help, if you're a business or individual, anything helps. And our We Back the Blue page on Facebook has a donate button there, and you can donate right through that. And it's very simple. We are a nonprofit. We're a 501c3, and our EIN, which is the one we need for your tax deduction, is right on our website.
You know, there's it's so often we just see we see police and military and firemen, firewomen, fire personnel portrayed as these heroes, which they are, as being invulnerable, that they're strong, they're heroic, which they are, but they're also people, and they are affected by what happens.
And there's a culture of, you know, that Superman, Superwoman mentality that is, you have to overcome in order for them to get help, because they are the strong ones out there, and they go charging into all these things. You know, we have Matt here. He hasn't said anything yet. But
yeah,
Matt Stoker's a retired RPD.
Hello.
I know he's a peer support person, and, you know, just helping each other is so important. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Yeah, it really is. Part of the problem with PTSD, with first responders, is that this is trauma that these guys and gals see every day, and it's not typically just one incident that happens. These are day in and day out trauma that these folks see every day. And after 20 years, 30 years, it really takes its toll. So groups like Code 9 are huge in helping people realize that they're dealing with something that they don't often know that they're dealing with, and able to get them some help and some tools and be able to recognize it.
Okay, so we want to raise $9,000. We can bring in the code nine people, and so we're going to get together on that and figure out the best way of doing it. But right
Absolutely.
Now you can donate via
We Back the Blue Facebook page. We Back the Blue Shasta is our Facebook page, and I think if you Google that, it'd be easy to find.
All right, you said I can go on your website and donate. What is your website?
It's We Back the Blue Shasta. It's a Facebook page. It's the easiest one because everybody's got Facebook. And there's a donate button right at the top, and it's got everything, and it connected right. You know, you can just donate with a credit card right online. It's real easy to do.
We Back the Blue.
We Back the Blue Shasta, nonprofit. You know, we are a non-paid volunteer organization. We don't get a dime out of this. We just believe there's a challenge out there for all of our law enforcement and first responders, and our heart is to help them.
Okay. I've been here with Brian Martin, River Commons, but also We Back the Blue. Phaedra Mitchell, retired 9/11 operator, dispatcher, and Matt Stoker, retired RPD vet there. So we're going to get this thing going together. We're going to gather that money up so we can help our people.
We appreciate that. You That'd bet. Be so awesome.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. When we come back, we're going to have Elizabeth Betancourt on with us. She's running for the State Assembly, District 1. We'll be right back.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump visits El Paso tomorrow following last weekend's mass shooting. And while Republican Mayor DeMarco and the president have sharply and publicly disagreed on border security, Margo says he'll be there to welcome Mr. Trump to El Paso. The president will also pay a visit to Dayton in the aftermath of the shootings there. Today, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is outlining his proposals for dealing with gun-related violence and improving mental health services. Republicans on Capitol Hill have been condemning the weekend gunfire.
Senator Ted Cruz is among the GOP lawmakers quick to rebuke white nationalism in the wake of the weekend shootings. He called the shooting at Walmart in El Paso a heinous act of terrorism and white supremacy. Cruz stopped short, though, of calling for new gun control measures. In that, he differs from some other high-profile Republican senators, like Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who favors so-called red flag measures. They would allow law enforcement to seize firearms from people who may pose a danger. Bob Agnew reporting.
President Trump lashing out at China for its latest moves in the trade dispute with the United States.
China has allowed its currency to fall to an 11-year low against the dollar, and President Trump is accusing Beijing of currency manipulation. He tweets that China has used currency manipulation to steal our businesses and factories, hurt our jobs, depress our workers' wages, and harm our farmers' prices. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Trade tensions heating up between South Korea and Japan. Japan's cabinet has approved the removal of South Korea from a list of countries with preferential trade status, prompting retaliation from Seoul, where a senior official summoned the Japanese ambassador, telling him that South Koreans may no longer consider Japan a friendly nation. Stocks are higher this hour on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is up about 89 points, the S&P ahead 14, the NASDAQ up 58. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-600-3010. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-600-3010 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-600-3010 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-600-3010.
Hamas receives a financial shot in the arm from Iran. We get the latest on the Media Line's Charles Beblazer.
Iran has reportedly agreed to increase sharply its funding to Hamas in exchange for intelligence on Israel's missile capabilities. Last month, a large Hamas delegation visited Tehran, where Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei offered to raise disbursements to the Palestinian terror group to an unprecedented $30 million per month. Israeli authorities previously estimated that the Islamic Republic was providing Hamas with a total of $70 million every year. Israeli media recently reported that Hamas agreed to open a war front from Gaza in the event a conflict erupts between Israel and Iranian-backed Hezbollah in Syria and Lebanon. I'm Charles Beblazer, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. A bankrupt coal company has a new owner.
Contura Energy has bid $33.75 million at an auction for the assets of three Black Jewel mines in Wyoming and West Virginia. The bidding results were announced Sunday and are subject to approval by a federal bankruptcy judge. Black Jewel filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection July 1st. The results did not indicate whether any mines would reopen and enable hundreds of idle miners to return to work. Some of them have blocked train tracks leading out of the mines to protest their lack of paychecks from work they performed. Keith Peters reporting.
Barney's New York filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, the latest retailer to buckle as shoppers move online and real estate costs soar. The company is closing stores in Chicago, Vegas, and Seattle. 12 concept and warehouse locations will also be closing their doors. More on these stories at townhall.com.
By the way, when I...
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center here on the 6th of August, 2019. Jason, have you got the weather there for me, buddy?
Yeah, I'm actually going to give a go at the weather today. Right now, it's currently 73 degrees outside with a little bit of clouds. Today's high is going to be 99 degrees with a low of 69 degrees. Tomorrow, the high is going to be sunny, 97 with a low of 66. And leading into the week, dipping down to the low 90s and mid-80s. And it looks like Friday night, there's a chance of actually some thunderstorms.
Wow. Thunderstorms?
Thunderstorms, yeah.
That's only because we're painting our house.
Yeah.
That's the reason why. They're painting our house in August, and we have thunderstorms.
They planned it. The storms planned it for that day.
No. Anyway. Hey, it's, like I said, 8:06 this morning. And with us is Elizabeth Betancourt, who is who's running for state assembly, the only Democrat in the race. Against, I think, four Republicans. So, good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Carl.
Tell us, and Ken Murray is with me, too. I'm so sorry, Ken. You're kind of like you're here and you're part of us. I think of it's like you and me and Linda. So, Ken Murray's here, too. Hi, Ken.
Hi. What would happen if you had these candidates in and didn't tell anybody what their political party was?
I don't want to even get into this because you know what, when people don't want to, party election like city council, I still ask, are you Republican or Democrat? Because I think that tells people, at least gives you some place to start.
I think that's true, Carl, but I also think that we need to be voting for people because of what they can do for us, what we see as their abilities, and not necessarily because of party. I think that's part of why our region and our country has been more divided.
Well, I think that's true. I think I would like to think that no matter what party affiliation I have, I always try to vote for the best person.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to represent the closest to what I believe in.
Sure. And I think that probably is part of why we have such a high rate of no party preference
and
voters anymore.
You know what? I'm really leaning into that one, too.
Yeah.
That because when you say that you're Republican, all of a sudden that you're a racist, homophobic pig.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily true.
Absolutely not in most cases.
And just like if you're Democrat, you're not a... baby killing socialist that wants to open up the country to terrorists.
Right.
So I'm the only declined to state in the room.
Well, we're not sure what you're declining to state, though.
I am unregistered, no party preference.
Well, then that's, you know what? I think that's right. That's what Elizabeth says. That's the one that's growing. Mm-hmm. But tell us about you. Tell us who you are.
Sure. So I've lived here in Shasta County for about 8 years. My husband and I have a small farm out in Happy Valley. We do a farm membership program and bring food to people weekly. We have sheep. We have chickens, lots of area of produce, and a bunch of those beautiful 100-plus-year-old olive trees where we mill olive oil annually out there.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Make your own olive oil.
We do.
Does it have a name, or is that just kind of like for your...
It's Olive View Farm.
Oh, okay.
And we do have a website, actually.
All right. So you can sell it and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you bringing to the plate here?
Sure. So I bring over 20, well, almost, I should say almost 20 years of experience in natural resources and water management. I've worked on water supply, water quality, headwaters management, healthy forests for nearly 20 years in a variety of capacities for local government, for regional government, for the state right now. I've even worked for the feds for a little while and as a consultant, as a private independent consultant. And looking at resources from that variety of perspectives has given me a really unique opportunity to see the openings in where we agree. And I think that is the most important thing for moving forward in this election, is that I know how to get to a point where we can increase our investment in our resources in this area, as well as, and this is something that has not been done well in the past, investment in our people, in our communities. The state is more and more seeing that our resources are of value to them. We are, of course, the source of the majority of water in the state of California. We store a lot of carbon, and the state has started to invest resources into those spaces, but to the neglect of our communities. Most of our children have to leave the area to go to school and often to find jobs. And I see an opportunity to collaborate through a variety of partnerships and organizations to create, more effectively create a system that allows people to do career education, technical education, higher ed, bachelor's degrees, if they so choose, in our region, and then stay in our region to do that work.
Where are the, as far as the water resources, are you there? This is more of, I think, of a federal, but it affects a lot of people here, is pulling the dams off the Klamath.
Oh, sure. That is more of a federal process because
it does affect the people around here.
Absolutely. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission required PacifiCorp to install some new fish access ladders, and that meets some of the requirements for the tribes on that river. They saw that as an inefficient use of funds, and that made their power equation too poor to make power anymore. And so it was their decision as a business to take those dams off the Klamath. It's gotten messy, certainly, because there are a lot of interests involved up there. But the decision has been made. I know it's still in the courts. At this point, there's a few cases.
So.
But the decision has essentially been made. The funding is largely available, at least to begin the process. And what I think we need to do as a region in Assembly District 1 is to really look at what that means moving forward. We have an incredible opportunity for tourism, for fishing up there. And really, the whole river will be able to become alive again for tribes and for communities up and down that river, and be able to access it for recreation and even for water supply to some extent, because the absence of dams on that river does make some water supply additionally available.
What about the, you know, some of the problems we're facing with removing those dams, like the amount of silt that's backed up for what? Decades. And, you know, what that's going to do to the rivers. Is there, what kind of mitigation do you envision for that? Because the state's going to have to lean into this and say, before you just pull these dams down, there's going to have to be a lot of work done. Who pays for that?
Yeah, so that's a public benefit, is what I would see. And so in addition to the silt, in many cases, there are chemicals that attach to the sediment particles. And so it's not just the soil. It's actually potentially contaminated. I don't think they have the mercury problems up there that we have kind of along the eastern or the west slope of the Sierra on the eastern side of our district. But, we do need to handle the silt. And that's the case in all of our reservoirs. All of them are getting sedimented in. So the Bureau of Reclamation has looked at ways to handle that in reservoirs that will continue to persist. For the Klamath, what we've seen in the past when they've taken dams out is a slow drawdown of the river, because the water washes the sediment slowly as it moves through anyway, right? And so it will take that sediment with it slowly as we slowly take the dams down.
So dams you're talking about would be over a period of years and not just dropped.
Yeah.
Okay. What about riparian rights for people? I mean, you're into water. Right? People have riparian water rights. Should they be taxed on those?
Some people have riparian water rights. Not everyone who lives on a river has riparian rights. That comes with the property. That riparian rights in particular, and this is a very complicated area, and I will say I am not a water rights expert. But riparian rights do come with the property. And so by the very nature of us paying property taxes, that's part of the riparian rights question.
So they should pay for the water that they use, that they have, even if they have riparian rights? I don't think they pay for it now.
No,
oh, they you're saying they don't.
Right.
You don't want them to pay because it comes with it.
Right.
Okay. All right. We have to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Elizabeth Betancourt, and who very articulately explained why the dam should come down and the problems that could be from the silt and everything. And we're talking about the ones along the Klamath, though that is a Fed thing, but it affects so many people up here in your district. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, a bank that is not only community-oriented, it's community-run. It's your community bank here in town. They just opened up their main branch down there on 192 Hartnell Avenue. They are your friends and neighbors, and they are also moving local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com or just stop on by and see somebody. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Betancourt, candidate for Assembly.
Somebody said they seen them headed down to the creek. Farmer Johnson's daughters just pulled up in a Jeep. And he knows how to grow them if you know what I mean.
B&T Satellite is offering to our 55-plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at B&T Satellite. Call 241-3474. 241-DISH.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Jack, well, yes, sir. Here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning Service, we carry a complete line of Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling systems.
Don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, sir, we're always here to help you at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know why you're so grouchy.
I'm not feeling grouchy.
And here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, we can install a new Energy Star high-efficiency system with our expert technicians. Now, what do you think of that?
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
The truth is, quality service is just a phone call away with Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. Call 221-2642 in Reading or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Everybody calls us.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. B&T Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH, and find out more from B&T Satellite.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is 8:19 in the morning. It's 75 degrees going up to 99 today. I think it's going to hit 100. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Down in Anderson, 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in town, the place that Linda hangs out in her free time, she and Trish. State Jewelry, they have it all. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. I'm here with Ken Murray, who's siding up with me today, but we're here with Elizabeth Betancourt, who is running for the Assembly District 1. So good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Kyle.
And we talked about, if you're just tuning in, as I see people are, that we talked about the water and the dams down the Klamath. And as she pointed out, that's a federal thing, but it does have a big impact on a lot of the people here in that district, up in your northern district. And now, Ken, you had a question.
Yes. You want to be our assembly person. Representing our district, so I guess I want to know. Let's assume you were elected. What's your worst quality?
That's a good question, Ken. It's like a job interview.
Well, it is a job interview.
I guess it is a job interview. Absolutely, the longest and largest one I've ever done. Well, my worst quality, I can certainly have some impatience. So in a lot of the collaborative work that I've done, which, as you know, as a former elected official, collaborative work can be incredibly rewarding. It certainly is a more permanent and a solution that has more staying power when you do it collaboratively. But the process of going through that and talking with everyone about their opinions and bringing solutions forward and making fine-tuning them can be just excruciatingly slow. So I will admit to being impatient.
Have you been in elected office before?
I've never run. No, I've been on a couple of appointed boards and commissions. The Western Shasta RCD I served on for over 4 years as its vice chair for one, and that is a special district, much like a water agency or a power company. And I serve on the Redding Community Development Advisory Committee. That always mm-hmm. feels like a mouthful, where we disperse CDBG, Community Development Block Grant funds from the federal government, make recommendations to the city council. So been involved definitely in making sure.
So what's the hardest part of that job on the CEBG committee?
Oh, my gosh. Ken,
for you personally, what's the hardest part?
The incredible work that nonprofit organizations do in our community. I mean, we get to see, I think we had 13 applicants this year, doing everything from an amazing restorative justice program with kids to help them understand not only how the justice system works, but also involving them in the process and having them talk through issues that offenses by other young people. That was amazing. And then everything to addressing adverse childhood experiences, ACEs.
Hey, I get to ask a question too, buddy.
Well, I just want to ask about CDBG. One other question.
Okay.
At CDBG, you're giving away money.
Yes.
Okay.
It's fun.
Yes.
That part.
But you're giving away money among various applicants who have various needs. And by definition, the process disappoints a lot of people.
Yes, it does.
So when you make a decision, and this can be any decision if you're if our assembly person, how do you sort through the options available to you, knowing that things can't be done, everything can't be done? What rises to the top for you?
Sure. So that will be a problem with public resource allocation no matter what or where. right? That's an issue with water resources. That's an issue with money. It's an issue even with public housing opportunities, right? And so we always have to be ready to make decisions, and those decisions must be guided by our core values. So I do have a section on my website that talks about my core values, and that includes authenticity and hard work and discipline. And one of the things that I look at when I'm ranking and prioritizing those applications for funding is, to what degree do I see that you spent time thinking through what the concrete outcomes of this application will be? We can't just hand money to a problem and think it's going to go away, right? We actually need quantifiable outcomes so that we can measure the success of these projects. And so I look at that. I'm also very lucky to be serving with a group of, it's actually all women right now, who are very diligent in how they think about these projects and programs. And so our scores are combined together. And so through that process, certainly not everything that I prioritize gets funding in the end, but I trust that everyone else in that room has, obviously, our community's interest at heart. And so working together, we come up with a prioritization list that we can all get behind.
Elizabeth, you're going to represent the 1st District, which is a conservative district.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a conservative district for a long time. Illegal immigration, what's your stand on sanctuary cities?
The sanctuary question is an interesting one because it combines issues of values, core values, as well as issues of finance. And so my position is that we in the state of California are a donor state. We end up giving much more money to the federal government than we get back. Why should we then federal government to do their work? To do the work that they are responsible to do. And we know also based on anecdotal and research evidence that the feds don't then, federal law enforcement does not then collaborate with our local law enforcement. So we are simply giving away our effort and our staff time and not getting anything in return. Certainly that's not the case if we're dealing with an actual criminal.
So I guess let me just kind of go through this. So you support the idea of sanctuary cities?
I do, because it protects our resources here in California.
Okay. So you know that that's not the feeling of this district, though.
I wouldn't say of this district.
Well, the majority of this district.
Of a significant portion of this district. I don't think that the issue has been talked through as much as it needs to have been. I think it's an issue that is a purposefully divisive issue. Not a single one of us in this room, I would say, are native to this place in the way that Native Americans are.
But right? Native Americans is not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that come across the border illegally.
Sure.
Come into cities,
sure.
And then they are giving sanctuary in the sense that the cities and the state says, we're not going to help the feds by notifying them that we have people here illegally.
Sure, but that's the feds' job to find that out. And if they're not doing their job of closing the border, then why should we do that for them?
Then you support them putting a wall on the border then and closing the border.
I definitely support look at what our immigration system does and is. Absolutely.
I don't think you can have it both ways. Either if you're for, it's up to the feds to shut the border, then you would then say, okay, shut the border down.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to worry about that. So
sure.
Do you support that?
The wall is not the solution as far as what I have heard. What I do support, though, is a revised look at our immigration system. It takes way too long for people to come here legally.
No, I agree with that. We do have to do that, but don't we have to control our borders?
Yes.
Don't we have to?
Certainly.
So we can shut off the border from anybody coming across there, whether it's a wall or a technical wall and people and a lot more people along the border to stop them and turn them back.
What I'm concerned about, Carl, is the human price of that. People are coming across the border no matter what because they need help. They are coming here for asylum, right? In many cases, not all of them, certainly.
Some cases.
But in many cases, people are coming here because their home communities are ridden by gangs or violence, or they can't find work. They don't have enough money to live.
So should we let all those people come across?
What I would say is that we have a process in place that goes through asking immigrants what their history is. What can you bring to the country? What are you scared of going home? And as an agriculturalist, I know that there are many cases that we need that labor that's coming across the border. And in many cases, immigrants start businesses at a greater rate than people who've lived here for many generations and come here with more creativity and drive.
Nobody's arguing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't argue that.
Sure.
And we've had programs, though. We've brought people across the border. They've worked here. Mm-hmm. They've been taken care of. And then they go back across the border. Again, that was worked.
Yeah.
And then that one was, oh, no, that's not, that's bad. That's a bad system, and so we're going to end it. But what I'm trying to get on your feelings is that you support the sanctuary cities and sanctuary state,
mm-hmm.
and you don't support a total shutdown of the border. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong. What I want to make clear, and it sounds like maybe I'm not being as clear as I can be, is that we can't just shut it down and not allow anyone across.
No, I agree with that.
So that's what I'm trying to be clear
about. No, I totally agree with that. But we can't just – you're not for open borders,
are you? Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. There are ways that other countries do this better, and there are ways that we can do it better. We have the innovation to do this. So I guess I would say, too – This is another issue that is much more of a federal issue than it is a state issue.
Well, state is the one that votes to give college funding to illegals, to give them medical to we got to take a break, but give medical to illegals while there's still homeless veterans out in the streets. But we'll talk about that when we get back. It's 8:30 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by friends over at SST Oil. You know, I found out the other day that SST Oil is a lot larger than I thought, and I should know this. They are in 11 states. Delivering fuel to 11 states in our nation right here. Not only that, but they deliver jet fuel. They're the biggest purveyor of jet fuel out there. Now, so you ask yourself, who needs jet fuel? I mean, can I drive my truck with that? No, but you can drive airplanes and helicopters that fight fires with that, and that's what they do. Not only that, they have over 15, they have CFN cards, fueling cards through their network that's good in 59,000 different places. There are so many things SST Oil does for our community. They give so much. They are there to support our community. SST Oil, 241-1167. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Betancourt.
Sunday down, I heard the radio walk. I was driving.
Armstrong and Getty here. We'll be on right after Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio Show.
Join us right here from 9 till noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
I dial it in and to the station to talk about the U.S. inflation.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station with Carl Bott. And I got Ken Marion here today, and this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. I don't care where you go, this is the best place in the world to get a haircut. You can give them a call at 244-9478. When I went in there, I had hardly any hair at all, and now look how long it is. I can't say it was from them, but I will say it's man's last stronghold. Be prepared to go in there. You don't watch Dr. Phil on the TV. Okay, again, I'm here with Elizabeth Betancourt running for the state assembly, and we've had conversations on the rivers and the water, the immigration policies. And Ken, you have a question. Oh, also about the boards that you sit on that, to help people in our community here with grants and all that. And that's a tough job. That's a tough job.
So you get elected. Let's take the positive point of view. You get elected. You're a freshman assemblyman in Sacramento. You get assigned to the office in the attic someplace. Okay. And the first thing you find out is whose butt you have to kiss in order to get an office with a window someplace. And you're a nobody. I don't care who it is the first time. You spend your first year finding out where the women's restroom is and how to get to meeting halls and things like that and learning the procedures and protocols. And by the time your first year is over, you have to decide in that first year whether you're going to run for a second term, because the second year, you got to go raise money to run the second time. What are you actually going to do for me as a representative of my district? Concrete, can you contribute the first year you're in office?
Absolutely. And I would say proof of that is a couple of the legislators who just recently got elected down in Orange County. Cottie Petrie North, in particular, has brought home a significant investment for her region in the San Diego region as a freshman year legislator. So we know that the state of California is super majority represented by the Democratic Party.
Correct.
Carl brought the party up, so I thought I might bring that up.
Hey, I was just going by the people that you rise and fall on what you're saying.
Sure.
Not what your party is, because if somebody, the person I want to let to represent me is going to do what's right for my district,
absolutely,
right for me.
Absolutely.
And I could give a hoot in hell whether it's a Democrat or Republican.
But you haven't answered the question. What concrete thing are you going to do for Ken Murray in Redding, California?
Sure. I would like to add, though, that yes, you want somebody who reflects your values and who's going to work for the district, but you also want someone who's able to get something done. And the Democratic supermajority is that is the case in California. And so somebody from a similar party will simply be able to work more effectively in that space. And I have been advocating to the legislature from a local government perspective, from a state government perspective, and from a private citizen perspective for quite a number of years, and developed relationships with staff and with legislators that will allow me to go in and just start working immediately. So what I will do for Ken Murray is there are a number of opportunities that are in place because of this last budget that could allow us to expand our education and career training opportunities here in this district. We don't have a single public university in this district, and we have been told by the CSU representative that there is no way they're going to build one here. So in that absence, we can use our exceptional community college system to galvanize the 115th college concept that was brought forward by Governor Brown that puts bachelor's pursuit and technical education into our community colleges specific to regional needs. So we know that we have millions of dollars to do forestry work on the ground. We do not have the people to do that work. We don't have enough foresters. We don't have enough burn bosses. So what I will do immediately is to ensure that we have the training programs in our community colleges, in our district, so that our children and adults can stay here and improve their own lives as well as improve our community at the same time.
Why aren't the trustees we already elected to the community college board doing that if it's possible to do?
There is some controversy over the 115th college. Some of that has to do with the competition with the CSU system, the perceived competition with the CSU system. And so one of the things that the legislature has authority to do is to expand those authorities of programs that already exist, as well as develop new programs. But certainly working with what's already there is more efficient. And
so what you're going to do for me, Ken Murray, in Redding, California, is you're going to get elected, you're going to go down to Sacramento, you're going to knock on some doors, and I'm going to see increased vocational opportunities and
four-year degrees.
And four-year degrees, which I can already get at Shasta College, but I'm going to see more of that than I have now.
Yes. And as a consequence of that, increased management of the forest by our own people and a greater investment financially of resources in our community because of that.
Okay. And I want to hit the forestry thing, too. The fact we've had these fires, and you've been surrounded by them also, Elizabeth, that, you know, finally they've recognized that we need forestry changed. Would you be in favor, or would you fight for the of our ability to clear out these forests of all this undergrowth and then use it in cogen plants?
Absolutely. Absolutely, hands down. And that's something that I worked on as a legislative liaison from the Sierra Nevada Conservancy, is the biggest impediment we have to that right now is economics, certainly. But another impediment that a lot of people forget about is the environmental justice movement that has seen cogen plants in the San Joaquin Valley burning trash for years. And so they have had a very effective lobby to the Air Resources Board to not allow additional cogeneration plants for forest fuels and biomass. So when I was there, I started building bridges with that community, bringing them out, educating them that, you know, what comes out of these stacks, generally speaking, is steam, not necessarily smoke. It's not the same as burning garbage in the San Joaquin Valley. And so being able to build those bridges will mitigate the negative energy coming towards that bioenergy facility.
I just want to make sure, and I think I know the answer, is that you understand why we have to clear out these forests.
Absolutely.
You understand it's thinning out these forests, even of trees that they're okay, but we have to clear all that out if we don't want to have these continuous fires.
Historically, we had 50 to 80 stems per acre. Mm-hmm. Now we have up to 800 stems per acre, and in fact, the forest practice rules require our forest management companies to replant once they've cleared at 300 to 400 stems per acre. Why are we requiring that they do that?
I don't know.
We know that 50 to 80 stems per acre is a healthy forest, right? We know those trees grow bigger. We know that makes our water cycle work better.
That means also that's the other thing. We're worried about water, and all of this takes acre feet of water to keep all these little brush things going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We're all in agreement there. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers, whether it's 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day. Sharon Clark and Redding Home Helpers is the place to turn to. She'll make a plan that works for your family, not for her. She wants to help you. She's got the best people out there working for her. Everybody's been checked. Everybody's been, you know, you don't have to worry about them coming into your home. She'll find the right person for your home. Learn more at readyandhomehelpers.com or give Sharon a call at 226-8350. Remember, there's no place like home. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Betancourt.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for State Assembly District 1. One of the largest problems facing us in California today is unfunded pensions. Most people don't know how bad this problem is and how it's affecting your city or county. For the city of Redding, this means not having enough money for the police department, fire department, roads, and for most general fund spending. The California Public Employees Retirement System is failing. To backfill the loss of revenue, city and county's general fund budgets are being eaten alive. If action isn't taken over the next 6 years, many cities will default on their payments. This could lead to a reduction of retirement dollars for many. No one wants to see that happen. I'm the only candidate in the assembly race talking about finding a solution to this problem. And the more we talk about this problem, the sooner we can fully fund these pensions. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this August 27th.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, Assembly District 1, 2019.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Came undone when got around to God and guns.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I am here. This is Carl Bott, and Ken's out there doing something, wandering around. We put out a silver alert on Ken Murray. As we're here with Elizabeth Betancourt, who is running for Assembly. And Elizabeth, here it comes. Second Amendment.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, well, this is the Second Amendment country up here. The state of California has put on a bunch of, in my opinion, onerous conditions, including having background checks before I can buy a box of 22 ammunition. Your thoughts on the Second Amendment? Are you for taking away the semi-automatic rifle?
So my thoughts on the Second Amendment, Carl, are that we live in a rural place where it takes 45 minutes for the sheriff to make it out to my home out in Happy Valley. Making sure that you're prepared for something that might happen is essential. Added to that, we have quite a high percentage of our community that has animals. And having animals out here, it makes it essential that you are able to manage those animals in the case of wild animal attack or something happening to them that you just can't get a vet out in time. And so certainly in rural spaces, making sure that we have the right to bear arms is essential.
Okay, let's go back to my question, though. There's this big thing now about banning semi-automatic self-loading rifles. Mm-hmm. Are you the, quote, AR, which is not what they are, but that's what the term everybody uses. Are you for banning those?
I believe very strongly that guns that are made to kill people, things that are made to kill people, really shouldn't have a strong presence in our public spaces.
Okay, so then you are for banning those.
I think that there's probably some different ways to describe that for people who still want access from a recreation standpoint. Certainly that could be discussed. I don't think an outright ban is ever something that should be the first suggestion. It always should be a conversation, especially with those who are advocates and have a background and a cultural affinity to doing that as recreation.
Most shootings occur with pistols.
The
vast majority of shootings occur with pistols. Mm-hmm. And I imagine in Chicago over the weekend with 60 people shot and 12 people dead there, which we didn't hear anything about, most of them are with pistols. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just statistics there. Mm-hmm. If you ban semi-automatic rifles, why wouldn't you ban semi-automatic pistols?
I think we don't actually see that the mass shootings happen most often with pistols. Most often they happen with the larger rifles. And what I would say, too, is that we have a history in this country from a sportsman's perspective of having the two shots with the third reserve for waterfowl. Do we value waterfowl more greatly than we value human life? I think that having that conversation about our history and background and about the change in our culture over the last several decades should be part of that conversation.
Well, but the Second Amendment says that we have the right to bear arms, and that's been upheld in the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
So would you vote against me having a semi-automatic self-loading rifle with my background? 30 years plus in the Marine Corps, I'm an NRA instructor.
That's what I'm talking about, Carl, is that we can't talk about an outright ban, right? We need to talk about the nuances in this conversation.
But we're still talking about banning that type of rifle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is a conversation.
What about concealed carry?
Concealed carry, I know that it's really popular up here. I have several relatives that have a concealed carry weapon permit, and I know that from a practical standpoint, that can be incredibly helpful if you're wanting to transport arms between your house and your land, your farm.
No, you don't need to have a concealed carry to do that.
Well, to ensure that you can transport it in your vehicle.
You can transport it in your vehicle, I mean, just by keeping them locked up. But I'm talking about the concealed carry where I or you or Ken or Ashley can carry a firearm concealed. Mm-hmm. Are you in favor of that?
I would like to understand better what the training is that goes into that. From my perspective, we need to ensure that anything on the street that can be a lethal weapon comes with the adequate training. I'm not doubting you, Carl, at all. Your background makes me feel
I'm very safe. Yeah, but I'm different. I mean, but I
you
have,
are different.
I am different
yes.
on that. But I
you are.
But I also teach people who are not former military, they're not former law enforcement, they're women that fear for their lives because, like you said, it's 45 minutes to get someplace. They're accosted on the streets by the thugs we have out here. I was just wanting to see what you felt about the ability to have a concealed weapon.
Sure.
And I believe what you're saying is you need to know that they've been trained.
Yes.
Okay. Ken?
Do you have any guns?
I don't have any guns.
None in your home?
Nope.
But you're out there with all those wild animals.
We are.
See? She's less paranoid than you are, Carl.
I'm not paranoid. I'm prepared. It's not paranoia. Really has nothing to do with it. As it is when I see people that can walk into a store with a gun, doesn't necessarily be a rifle. It could be a pistol, and I am there. So I want to be able to protect myself, and I think this is the thing: is protect yourself and your family,
well,
and other people like you. I don't care.
I think though too, Carl, the conversation should also be around building a community where we do all feel safe. And like I said, having understanding that people who are carrying have a background like you do, that makes me feel very safe. Like our police officers, for example. I'm not sure that everybody who has a concealed carry weapon is as comfortable with having that on the streets of Reading. When we're in a group of people, if something was to happen God forbid, in a large group of people here in Reading, and someone with a concealed or several someone's with a CCW, right, felt like it was their job to come in and solve the problem with their weapon, they're not coordinated. They're not trained to do that in a space with a lot of people. I worry about that.
So you would put more restrictions on it then if you didn't feel like they were trained enough.
I'd like to better understand what the training is. Absolutely.
After this, we'll talk a little bit about it. Okay, we've got like about, 4 minutes left. And this is for Elizabeth. Okay? I have one last question. What do you think about all the, when you see the problems that the state of California has with its homeless and the drugs. Have you seen that documentary, Seattle is Dying?
I've seen clips of it.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a drug problem, is what Seattle was saying. A lot of people will tell you here it's a drug problem. What do you see the state being able to do about this?
So, yes, drugs are part of the problem, but what I would say is that when people lose hope and lose their ability to have a place to live, if they don't have work, if they don't have a support system, they end up on the streets, and many of them end up self-medicating. And that is generally through drugs and alcohol. And so, yes, it's a drug problem, but it's also a problem of housing affordability and the availability of jobs. I strongly believe that every single one of us wants to contribute to a better society. We all want to be part of the solution. And so making those opportunities more available to everyone, not just our kids that do everything right and come up through school and have, you know, nothing go wrong and get a job and become productive members of society, that is amazing and fabulous, and those parents should be congratulated. But that is not always the case with everyone. Not everyone has the same opportunities. And so ensuring that we have jobs for everyone at all varieties of expertise levels, as well as housing that they can afford at the level of pay that they're receiving, that is how I would look at the problem. I always try to look at the root cause rather than to put a Band-Aid on it and throw money at the solution.
Okay. All right. The last 2 minutes, yours.
All right. Well, I guess what I would say is our region is it's the largest assembly district in the state, geography-wise. It's where our water comes from for the rest of the state. It's our beautiful forests. We have tourism opportunities. What we don't have is investment in our spaces, in our communities, in our individuals. And I feel really strongly that going to the state of California as a collaborator, going there to help make a difference rather than simply stop things, is the way to move forward in our district. Yes, guns are an issue in this district. They're an important issue, and it's an important right that we have to preserve in the state of California. The way we've done that in California is not equitable. It costs too much. There are too many regulations, and I appreciate that when the regulations are put in place, they're not put in place in an equitable way. And so what I would advocate for is a way of legislating that involves all of us and involves input from the public. one of the things I'd like to do when elected is to come to the communities throughout our district every weekend, have an event in Nevada City, have an event in Sierraville, have an event in Alturas, and visit every part of this district on a rotating basis to ensure that I, as an elected official, am in touch with things that the people want and need and the issues that have come up that maybe I'm not as aware of. And so in conclusion, I guess what I would say is I'm not running as a savior with all the answers. I don't think that's right for an elected official. An elected official should represent the people. I'm running to represent the people of this district and to improve access and availability and quality of life for our population.
My hat's off to anybody who runs for elected office. The pain of just running is horrendous.
No, it's not easy. And Elizabeth, we so much appreciate you being here. I'd like to get you on again before the final election. Then August 27th. I know you're real busy out there. And thank you so much for coming on. I hope that you feel like you're able to express yourself on all sides.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate it. And thank you, Ken.
You bet. Hey, tomorrow we're going to do a show with the police, our police chief and the head of Reading, of Shasta Regional Medical Center about active shooter and the responses from the hospital in their training for a mass shooting incident. God forbid that happens up here. It's kind of funny we were talking about it. But that'll be tomorrow right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Hey, I will stand.